Welcome to Ask My Mice.
Love you and I, cause I love you so much. Oh, 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 I just love you. I just like help, help. I just like help. I just like you too. I just like you. I just love you. Happy New Year, I love you, say goodbye. You're going to school, and that's okay. Yum, 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 I just love you.
Hi.
Well, good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, I should say. It's afternoon here in New Jersey, and where we're broadcasting from. My name is Bob Oakley, and I'm your host. And this is our family show where we talk about the family and all things that are involved with the family. And I see I have a couple of guests on here. One is the, I feel honored to have him on the show, our president of the Hope Collection, Mr. Ron Clayton. Good afternoon, Ronnie. How you doing, my friend?
Good afternoon. You're back in Jersey.
I'll tell you, it's a little cool day today. The temperature has dropped quite a bit, and we don't have so much of that smoke from the Canadian fires up there today. It was really pretty bad the last 2 days. It was pretty bad, but it's looking better today.
We don't have it, Bob. We don't hardly have it at all here. It's clear. So. All the scare tactics and everything that the tree huggers want to lay on us, I don't buy it. Hey, I want to congratulate you. You just came off a family tour to the Midwest with your family, and they joined you, and you met family where you went, and you demonstrate every year, every time. This has been a tradition for you to go with your family out there to St. Louis and join forces. And, of course, this year you got the privilege of having that beautiful woman, your new bride, Flo, is with you. And we are so well. We're so excited. And we're glad that we got to meet her in Buffalo last week. So we're going to have more fun times.
She was really excited about that, about meeting you all. And she had a great time. And I was just totally impressed with the memorial that was set up there, and the people that talked, and the lady that sang, and it was Mary and her troop being there, and it was just a great celebration and a great memorial, recognizing those that have passed in service to our country, and those that are still serving in our country. It was great to meet with Len Kane and you guys. I thank you for hosting us at your house. My gosh, that was wonderful. And we had a nice lunch and a chance to meet Van Taylor again. And so it was a great celebration. And we had the same thing the next week in Illinois, and commemorating all the American Indian tribes, and and Flora was very, very happy with that too. So it was just a wonderful 10 days that we spent, 10 or 11 days doing that, and it was well worthwhile. So
you're finally home.
I'm sorry, what?
And you finally made it home.
Oh, it's so good to be home again. Yes.
You know what? You're turning into a real travel monster.
Yeah, when we came back, it was a 16-hour drive coming back.
Wow.
And but it was well worth it. And
well, good.
It was good weather the whole time and everything. So everything was great. And I see our friend Mary is on with us. Hi, Mary. How are you doing?
Good. How about you?
Hi. Goodbye, Mary.
Yeah.
I gotta run. Bye.
I missed all that.
Off, So anyway, Mary, thank you for all that you did setting up with your troop and having them to hand out the pamphlets and the things that they did honoring the veterans that have passed. I mean, the military people that have passed, and it was the Pledge of Allegiance and all that was. It was just great. It was just a great celebration and a great time to be there and to honor the people that have served in our country and are still those that are still serving also. And so thank you so much. You're such a good contributor to make things move along and to help out in any way you can. And you're always there. Thank you. Thank you so much. We appreciate you.
So in condition to that, because, you know, on an average day, 20 veterans and current service members commit suicide due to mental health issues. Last year, from Memorial Day to Memorial Day, 7,300 committed suicide that we know of.
So, yeah, and you're a veteran too, and you you served served our country. I really truly appreciate that. We have another veteran that has come on the show, my friend Larry from New Jersey. Hi, Larry. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
Oh, we're off the charts here. We're doing great. Thank you. And
that's good.
Just talking with Mary. Larry was with us when we came up to Buffalo. And Larry, you want to tell us a little bit about your experience while you were there?
Well, one thing is I met Len Kane. He was a pilot on the F-4, and he was in the Navy. And, of course, I was in the Air Force, but I worked on, you know, the same plane. And when I met him, you know, I had my shirt on that said, since 1962, the F-4 Phantom, the world's largest distributor of MiG parts. And, of course, he got a good laugh out of that.
Len Kane was terrific in his talk. And,
oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
It was
great
to meet
man.
Him in person.
Yes, it was.
And he
it was truly a pleasure.
Such a contributor. Mary, you mentioned that you're doing a special tribute to Len Kane and the Golden Rule Society. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. But before that, we are partnering with the Battle Within. We have created an organization called the Unbreakable Resilience, One Flag, One Life. And it is a support system with professionals for service members, current and former, that are struggling with mental health. There's coaches, therapists. There's a whole bunch of different people that are jumped on the bandwagon when I called and asked for help. So there's a whole support network available for people who are looking for help. And we're an independent organization from the VA.
That's great.
And their whole purpose is serving people that have served their country, right? Served
Correct.
Our country.
It is all for law enforcement, firefighters, any first responders, and military, former and current. Our goal is
wow.
to reduce, to eventually eliminate the amount of flags that we put up every year at the Battle Within.
Wow. That is a great
That's
effort.
A great thing. Great.
Larry, you have some comment about that?
Oh, yeah. That's something that you know, that every veteran needs. I mean, I belong to a thing called the Veterans Breakfast Club, and we meet on Tuesday mornings, and we go to the VFW right down the street from me in Hampton, and it's really a nice place where we can get together, you know, and talk about current things and also about, you know, about our past, you know, what we did when we were in service and stuff like that. And it's really a great thing, you know, to get to see all the different veterans, you know, from the different branches of service. And, you know, I don't know.
And it doesn't matter which branch of the service they're in, right? It's just everybody
nope.
all meeting together and exchanging stories and talking about things that they're doing and so forth, right?
Yes, exactly. And it's, you know, it's it's a wonderful thing. You know, and in fact, I'm. They let me do the. I clean up the kitchen afterwards, and I also, you know, mop the floor, and that's part of my job. And you know,
yeah,
they call me Casper Clean.
So they put you to work too, right?
Yeah. They call me Casper Clean because I keep things clean.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And we're having the family bowling event coming up. You want to talk a little bit about that also?
Yeah, actually, that was last Saturday night. It was a nice turnout. A lot of people came. They had the bowling alleys was full with all the you know, the businesses that we got to sponsor us, and it was really a great event. The Knights of Columbus and the Elks both made out very well.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And that was done all through sponsorships, right?
Yep. Through the...
And the owner of the bowling alley provided the free service for people to bowl, right?
Yep, exactly. And in fact, you know what? He, you know, I lost my bowling ball, you know, when I moved. And so I was talking to him, and he said, he goes... he says, you know, you should get a new bowling ball. I says, you know what, maybe I'll do that. So, actually, I got to go there tonight. You know, I'm going to get fitted for a new bowling ball and new shoes and stuff. And, you know, so I can, I might bowl in like a little league or something. You know what I mean? So
great.
It's been years since I've really actually bowled. So we'll see if I can, you know, get back into it a little bit.
I know you and I bowled together one of the times. I can't remember which one it was, but it was.
Yep.
And you beat me.
Wow. Well, you know,
I used to bowl a lot, but I haven't bowled for a long time, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You ought to try it too. You know, we ought to go over there and bowl once in a while. You know what I mean?
So,
they're having like a
I
summer.
See we
week,
have
I think.
Another one of our super friends is. Mr. Country Boy from Atlanta. How you doing, Brad?
Hey, afternoon, sir. Where are you, Oak fan? Bob, can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I'll be listening in.
I'll be without noise in a second. Go ahead, Hope Man, and I'll jump back in.
I was listening to you earlier on the show that you guys were having on health issue, health and wellness and stuff, and that was a great show also. So
I appreciate it, sir.
Welcome.
As you know, we're always trying to. You know, as you well know, we're always. I call it news, NEWS, that you can use. News that you can use. My granddaddy, well, the Fourth Amendment puts it real plain for us, Oak Man. People have a right to remain silent. My granddaddy says, if you can't say nothing good, don't say nothing at all. They said, Country Boy, you talk too much.
I got a lot to say. So I'll take that just real quickly, and then I'll mute again. I know what my Fourth Amendment right is. I have a right to remain silent, but life is nothing but a series of choices that we make. I choose to give up my right to remain silent because everything that I say and everything that I do can be and will be used to bless somebody. Over here at the Hope Foundation, we're for 10 years plus, man, Oakman been here serving up hope for lunch. Why? Well, number one, it tastes great and it's spiritually fulfilling. But Ron Clayton always reminds me, we have no hidden agendas. We have no hidden motives on what we do. We have every intention on blessing you. Why? Because we care. We care enough to share enough information with you. Oh, we're in the information stage and knowledge is power. We want you to be informed. We share enough information with you so that you will know what you need to know in order to be able to grow. I'll stop right there.
Okay. Yeah, that is so true. And we're knowledge brokers. We're handing out knowledge every day to people and trying to give them knowledge to help them to have a better life and to help them to grow in whatever areas they are interested in growing in. And you know what you said that your grandfather said to you about if you don't have something good to say about somebody, just don't say anything. And my dad used to say that too, and my grandmother also used to say that all the time. So that is so true. And I all my children that I've raised over the years, help raise, I've stated that to them also. If you can't say something good about somebody, just don't say anything, you know. And it's so important, and it's important that we do stress and recognize people for the good things that they're doing, and the things that they're accomplishing in their lives, and the things that they're doing to help other people. It's so important that we recognize that, and it just helps to motivate them to do more. And that's what we're trying to help them do, is to do more. And so that's
now,
very, very important.
Let me give them another cliff note. My grandmother, I tell you about my granddaddy. My granddaddy says, baby, I'll be dead and gone and chaos will hit the world. Y'all wouldn't know nothing about that. She says, but baby, I want you to understand there's two sides to everything. Not as simple as one,
right.
Two, three. As simple as one, two. Night and day. Dark, light.
Right.
Good, bad. Up, down. Front, back. Now here's where it gets really, really, really tricky at. I just wrote a piece, Oakman. It's called Stand Up and Speak Out. You don't have to scream like Country. You don't have to shout. But courageously, did y'all hear that word? Courageously, courageously stand up and speak out about bullying. Evil versus good. Evil always shows up. I quote Dr. King, one of my mentors. I'm here in Atlanta, Georgia. He says, Country Boy, I've been around the world more than one time. And I'm probably going to go back again. And Lynn Cain always says, the afterworld is even better than this world. See, he's in the afterworld now. But he said, Country Boy, I've seen all different types of cults and all different types of evil everywhere I go. But my question for you guys that are listening to me is, one of them, I think he referred to it as those so-called, watch this now, I'm treading on very thin ice now. Those so-called Christian people that see the evil, it's right there in their face, but they don't do nothing, they don't say nothing. In that little book that I was reading, it says when we see something that's not right, then not just let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
So we see bullying going on, but are we going to still idly stand by and watch our children get bullied, get pushed down, get shoved aside, get called all kinds of foul names, sticks and stones may break my bones? Words. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. God said, let there be. Yeah, words are powerful. So we want to speak words of encouragement to you. We want to let you know that enough is enough is enough. It had to start somewhere, Oakman, and it had to stop somewhere. And we're starting a revolution. Matter of fact, last one. Mary's daughter, y'all going to hear us talk about Mary Stanley, princess warrior woman, my mother, super friend kid. Ariana, her 8-year-old daughter, we're going to use the children to confound the wise, helped us launch an international kindness campaign. Oh, I forgot to tell you, our big brother Lynn Kane, Golden RuleSociety.org. Oh, I forgot to tell you who Lynn Kane. Y'all don't know Lynn Kane? Not Tom Cruise. Lynn Kane. Top Gun. Best fighter pilot in the world. One of our super friends. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Last year he got nominated. He won the International Humanitarian Man of the Year Award. You don't nominate yourself for that kind of stuff. You have to do something. Get up and do something. And then he turned right back around, and he's only been nominated 5 times for the Nobel Peace Prize. Lynn Kane's golden, don't miss this, golden rule, Oakman, it's simple, real simple. Treat other people the way that you would like to be treated. Now, how complicated is that? Last one more time. Ron Clayton says, tell them, country, we don't care whether you graduated from Harvard or Yale or just got out of jail. We have hope for you so that you can activate that little mustard seed faith that you say you have. Faith is the substance of things hope for. If you have nothing to hope for, you have nothing to have faith for. So we're igniting your spirit. We're going to empower you with our super friends to have knowledge, expertise. Nike, not Nike. Nike says, just do it. Lynn Kane says, been there, done that, flew around the world enough to go to the moon and back 7 times. You think the man knows what he's talking about when he talks about treating people the same way that you want to treat it, even if you're not educated? And if you haven't graduated from Harvard or Yale, we have no hidden intentions. We have no hidden motives on what we do. Oakman is taking the time today to talk to you guys about family. There's really, really, really where it starts. And if you think that you can do what the divine creator has told you to do by yourself, then he didn't tell it to you. Last one, you're going to be in some type of business because we're about our Father's business. You're going to be in business for yourself, but not by yourself.
Yep.
Back to the program.
Now we're going to do a little bit of follow-up on Mary's show yesterday regarding discipline and how we can help our children to be disciplined and how we can help them to understand the reasons why we do all that. And Mary, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
You want to kind of just talk a little bit about that, what you guys talked about yesterday?
Sure. So we talked about, one, different types of discipline and how, you know, a lot of us say what worked back in the day doesn't necessarily work now. But a lot of things that we're finding out that we did back then, we're like rediscovering it. And oh my God, it's the greatest thing in the world. It's new. It's not, it's actually old school.
Yeah.
And it really is. You know, one of the things we talked about was positive parenting. And doing positive parenting correctly. And by that, I mean, you're ignoring little things that they do wrong and encouraging when they make an attempt. And you get more specific in encouragements as they get older. But, you know, think back to when you were a kid. Think back to, like, the 40s and the 50s, and you watched Leave It to Beaver or Ozzie and Harriet. It was always,
yep,
wait till your dad gets home. When you always saw the kids get in trouble, Dennis the Menace, for instance. The kids would go talk to the mom about what they did wrong. And they,
yep,
would sit and have this dialogue, and the dads were always portrayed as the punishers. That mom talk was the positive parenting. It was actually coined back in the 20s.
Yep. You know, I believe that many of the problems that we're having today with children, children out fighting and people being shot, kids using guns to shoot other people, and all of those problems come from lack of discipline. And I believe that it's really a I think it's reached a level that we have to do some things to change that in our society, and it's not just in this country; it's all over the world that things are happening.
True.
That I believe we can help with through the Hope Collection, one person at a time, one family at a time, and help them. I think I've talked about it before, that in my particular case, my personal experience from my parents had two different ways of disciplining us boys. There were three of us boys, and it was one was good and one was bad, because my dad was very harsh with his discipline, and my mother was very gentle and loving, and teaching us about reasons why we needed to be disciplined, and why the things that we did were not acceptable, and so I learned so much from my mother, and I learned from my dad too. I learned not to do things that would cause him to discipline us, you know, and but it was very harsh with him, but it was very gentle with my mother. And I think that... Go ahead, Mary.
I got a question for you. Now, did you learn not to do it again, or did you learn just not to get caught doing it again?
That's a good one.
Both of those.
Yep. Mary, that's a trick question.
My brothers and I were... Go ahead. Go ahead, Country.
Oh man, it's funny how you say that, Mary. From a young person's perspective, again, let me complicate it. The only difference between saved people and sinners, every saved person has a past, and every sinner has a future. A lot of times, the only difference between the ones that went to jail and the ones that sat in the front row pew and sinned every Sunday, if they didn't get caught. So my granddaddy made it real clear that when you leave this household, it's not about you, Country Boy. If you do something that's bad, it's a reflection. Did y'all hear that word? A reflection on the whole family. So you have to watch what you say, and you have to watch what you do. But now the children nowadays, without the discipline part, is almost like they pitch a tantrum. Instead of putting their thumb in their mouth, they put a gun in your face. So we got to do something, because part of the new generation, and y'all, they call me OG down here in the South. That just means the old schooler. Yeah, because what we did is we looked out after each other. We had
each other's back. So there's no way for Mary to be bullied if I'm around and I got seven other brothers and all of them are bigger than me. She would call in her super friends to help. And then, Bob, last one more time, when we talked about last show, today, at whatever time in your household, with different time zones, they would say something to you like, Mary, Ariana, David, it's time for dinner. And I don't care if you're playing with the video game or you're talking to Oakman on the phone. You need to put your phone down. You need to turn your video game off. Why? Because it's dinner time. It's counseling time. Oakman, how was your day at school? Oh, well, Mom, it wasn't so good. And then you get a chance to voice what went on in your life that day. If you accidentally cut your boy, how was your day? Did you learn anything new at school today? Well, no, I didn't learn nothing. Well, you didn't learn nothing? You were there for 8 hours? Well, after dinner, we're going to get your books, and we're going to go study a little bit more to make sure that you learn something today. But see, we got away from the family time. We got away from how was your day. Tell me what's going on. Are you being okay? Are you abused? Do your head hurt? Or do you feel like you got a sniffy, runny nose? And not, I had a woman, a little young lady, that she was only 15, and she lived in a house with her mom for 7 months. And I said, sweetie, are you pregnant? She said, no, I'm just a little bit pregnant. I'm just a little bit pregnant. She's only 7 months, but she wasn't really showing. She was kind of hiding it, wearing big shirts. How does a child live in their house with their mama and be pregnant for 7 months? Not a day. 7 months, and the parent not even know. We're MIA, Mary. I'm going to stop right there. We're present, but we're MIA. We're just idle, standing by, like everything is going to be okay.
Yep.
I got a good example. So Memorial Day weekend, the Boy Scouts went up to Buffalo. We were at the Battle Within Monument. We're supposed to be putting flags up. Some kids were putting flags up. Other kids were climbing all over the monument. They were bouncing balls off the monument. The parents are standing there with their cell phones reading Facebook or whatever the heck they're doing on their social media, whatever they're doing on their phone, not paying attention to their kids. Now, the question is, were these little kids or were these big kids doing the wrong thing? The messed up part
all
was, it was the...
All the names.
Was,
all the names have been changed, but take the guilt in.
They were the big kids.
Is the parent guilty,
thing.
Or are the kids guilty, or are both of them guilty?
One? Okay. These were big kids. They were over the age of 10. So, A, they knew better because they were told more than once not to do that.
Yep.
All right. So
I'm not talking about the kids. I'm talking about the parents who were talking on the phone to act like they didn't see them doing stuff that they shouldn't be doing.
Exactly. Well, they're guilty because they're not paying attention to what the kids are doing, especially when you're in a new environment. And this is where I got mad the most, is you're in a new environment. You're at a huge museum and park. There are hundreds of strangers around all the time. Why are you not watching your kids? How easy would it be for that kid to wander off or get taken? But my daughter, for instance, she spent, you would see her start to go over there and she'd catch herself and stop because she knew it was wrong. And she wanted to fit in with the pack, but she wanted to do what was right at the same time. She was raised to respect and honor things. To her, it's like a giant cemetery. The biggest pitfall we have is we don't talk to our kids. We don't tell them what to do and explain to them what's right and wrong. We just let the world do it for them. You know, you punish your kids for doing something wrong. How many times did you get sat down and explained what you did wrong. Like, Bob, you're talking about you sat down, you know, your mom sat there and talked to you about it.
3154 Cambria Road.
That's the whole point. How are they going to correct their behavior? How are they going to fix their behavior if you don't explain what was wrong and why it was wrong? You know, we had a guest on the show yesterday that I don't agree with. He talks about how we need to train our children. We need to dominate our children and expect them to take orders and obey. That may have worked back in the day when society was cut and dry, but in this day and age, there's so many wrong things. There's so many kids doing wrong. If we don't teach our kids to think for themselves and take those steps of what's right and wrong, how do you expect them not to do the wrong thing?
You know, it's amazing how children develop and how they develop their views on life and their the way they treat other people and the way they assume responsibility for things and so forth. I think that discipline has a lot to do with that. We were working on a farm. Everybody has jobs to do on the farm. Children, all his parents, and if you don't work together on those things and get them done, the whole situation doesn't work as well, and you don't accomplish as much as you could if you all work together. So that's one of the things that my parents were always disciplining us boys on, was to make sure that we follow through on things that we were responsible for, like feeding the chickens or milking the cow, you know, letting the horses go out in the pasture, and all different things that we were responsible for, working in the garden and making sure that the equipment was running properly and things like that. We all had responsibilities. And if we didn't get it done, that's when we were disciplined, because we didn't get it done. And it was so the responsibility that we were assigned came first, and then the discipline. But we were taught all along that those two work together. If you weren't carrying out your part of the jobs, it hurts everybody, and it hurts the ability to make the farm run properly, and because the cows need to be fed, the horses need to be fed, the barn need to be cleaned out, and all those different things had to be done, and we were all assigned responsibilities. At a young age, we were assigned responsibilities, and it was up to us to get it done. And if we didn't, then we were disciplined. Go ahead.
You know what the funny part is? You know what the funny part is about that old man? They were overseers, and they would never, ever, ever assign you an assignment that you was not capable of handling.
Oh, that's
they
right.
Wouldn't
and you had to have training. Some things we had to be trained. Yeah, right.
Yeah, but then they would show you and teach you and guide you and direct you, because one cannot do what one has not been taught. Somebody showed you how to walk. Somebody showed you how to talk. Somebody showed you how to swim.
Yep.
They introduced you to a bicycle. Let me introduce you to your chore. Take out the trash. We had to walk about a half a mile to the local stream that came out of the head of the mountain and fill up water jugs, because there were 17 people in my family. So if my bigger brother was bigger armed than me, he could carry 4 jugs. But I didn't have no excuse. We've replaced the word responsibility with the word excuse. Well, I couldn't.
Yep.
Wait a minute now. You tell me that your parents are going to ask you to do something that you're not capable of doing. But when we went to school, Oak Man,
if I came home, I had made straight A's. I was an honor graduate. I came home with straight A's, but all the names have been changed again. One of my brothers didn't have grades to kind of equal up to be very close to passing, and he would always have an excuse on why he didn't study, why he didn't pass the test, why, always an excuse on why he didn't. But if you look at the why, he never put in the work. You know, we can write it down, we can make it plain, we can instruct, but are you really, this is the way I teach you. This is the way your parents teach you. I'm going to tell you again. Now, just to make sure you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth, repeat back to me, Bob, Robert, what I just said to you. Are you understanding the words that are coming out of my mouth? Do you understand what the task is? Do you understand that we're playing team on this? When we was in elementary school, they had an acronym called TEAM, Together. Did y'all hear that word? Each, that means everyone. Achieve, that means accomplishment. More, together, each, achieve, more. Elementary, dear Watson, that was the whole philosophy behind family. Everybody in the family has something that they can do unlike anybody else. This is why I keep calling you guys super friends. DNA unlike anybody else's.
Yep. It's amazing. I was when you mentioned that you have to teach people, teach the children how to do things that you expect them to do. And one of them that I was taught by my dad was how to milk a cow, because we milked them by hand, and we didn't have machines on our farm to do that, but we had to milk them by hand. You'd have a bucket, you put it underneath, and then you squirt the milk into the bucket, and you had to learn how to do that, because there's a certain way you have to hold it to get the milk to come out. And it was if I hadn't been taught how to do that, I wouldn't know how to do it, you know. So it's very important. Yeah, that's a very important aspect of it. And you can't expect somebody to do something if they haven't been taught how to do it. They have to know. They have to be taught. And yes, absolutely, that's very important. Mary, you have any other comments on that, on discipline?
One of the big ones we use in our house is, not only does the punishment fit the crime, but the age appropriate or mental appropriate. So, like, for instance, my son is 7 years old, but his mentality is at a four-year-old level when it comes to the emotional aspect and understanding of things. So, and it, what works? So, for, like, him, you know, the most common punishment that's misused is a timeout. Timeout is not supposed to be considered a punishment. A timeout is designed for you to reset.
Yep.
It's to get them to just take a moment and calm down. So for, like, for him, his punishment for not getting things done that he needs to do or when he acts out is he loses privileges. He can't play on the computer, or he can't, if his toys are not picked up. We used to be really sticklers on it, and that kind of slacks because I've been busy, but as he loses them, if mom picks them up, then they go bye-bye until you earn them back.
The one of the areas of discipline that I learned when I was going to school in elementary school, I went to a Catholic school, and the nuns there, they had a hard time sometimes disciplining the guys. The gals seemed like they weren't getting in trouble like the guys were. But I was a cut up in class, and I always crack jokes, and all the kids would laugh, but boy, the nuns didn't like that at all. They would come over with their ruler, and they'd whack you across the fingers and say, you're not supposed to do that. You know, you learn not to do that. And they also had a chair sitting in one corner where we, if we had to have a timeout, we had to sit there for a while and act really stupid because we're sitting there in the corner and everybody else was at their desk. So it was a learning experience also. And I used to enjoy cutting up in class, and but I learned not to do that through the discipline from the nuns. And if teachers tried to do that today, there would probably be a lot of problems. But the nuns got away with it because that was not frowned on at that time in the education system. But today I know it is. You don't whack a kid across the knuckles with a ruler in today's society. So things have changed.
Yeah, that they have.
You know, and speaking about the family and the things that we do with the family, I do a lot of things now with the Spanish people, and I've learned that they have a very good way of raising their children. They first of all, they give their children a lot of love, and they teach their children by showing them the right ways to do things and the ways not to do things. And it's all done with love. For most of the families that I'm involved with in the Spanish community, they have a much better approach, I feel, in raising their kids and teaching them the right ways to do things and showing them why not to do the things in the wrong way. And it's an eye opener for me because I tried to do some of those things, and my wife tried to do some of those things when we were raising kids, but it was different because the society in America was different than the society and the way that things were done with the Spanish people versus the American people. A lot of difference, and the results that the Spanish people have is very high achievers, and very also the children that are making friends very easily and helping other friends to do things and so forth, and so I just see a tremendous difference in the two societies. At least the Spanish people that I'm exposed to. I don't know if they're all that way or not, but the ones that I'm exposed to, I see a big difference.
Oh, man. It's just funny you know, to say that because this past Saturday, my business partner and I own a security company, and we did a bar mitzvah for a 15-year-old. So in the Hispanic community, when a young lady turns 15 years of age, she has rightfully become a woman. In old school, back in the old days, they was marrying you off at 13, 14, 15. But they spent over $60,000. People from all different states were there. There was over 300 people at this party celebrating a 15-year-old's birthday. So now when you talk about our culture, you're happy to get a cupcake with a candle in it or a cake. But when you have 300 to 400 people in a pot that will spend $60,000 celebrating your life and you becoming a woman, that's really unique and different. And again, if you understand the Hispanic community, they always work the team philosophy because they understand each one teach one, together we achieve more. And then again, that's what we are offering you guys now. solution. Whether you're part of the Hispanic community, Afro-American community, you went to the Catholic Church, you graduated from the Presbyterian, you got sprinkled with holy water, I got dipped in the river, and my friend from India, in humiliation, she got saved by going and bowing down and let everybody in the community come by and spit in the top of her head. So whether you was dipped in the water, sprinkled with holy water, healed with herbs, we still have one major thing in common. Our Father. We're about our Father's business, and we're all the children of the Almost High. So you guys, let's come on out and do what you do. Don't be afraid to admit where you are, because there's good and bad and everything. I think the Beatles said that. Although we love the sunshine, we must still accept some rain. We are imperfect humans. Every time we walk and every time we talk, we work with mercy and grace being our blocker to see that we can stay within the guidelines of being a humanitarian, not even like Lynn Cain, but just being kind. Treat other people the way that you want to be treated. Raise a child up the way that you would have them to go, and they will not depart from it. Back to you, Mary.
Well, it was, you know, it's a tough thing for somebody, for a parent, to have a family without knowing a whole lot about what to do with children, and how do you as a parent learn to do things that you need to do to raise those children properly. And it's a very difficult situation at first, and it's usually a trial and error thing. We try different things of teaching our children, and we use different methods, and we use maybe ask the past generation, like grandmother or grandfather, how did you handle it? And how did you deal with this situation? So a lot of it is from generation to generation. It's passed down on how to deal with raising children and giving them the right understanding and the right values in their life, and passing that on to them. And a lot of it is the example we set, because our children learn so much from us through our examples of how we deal with different situations, how we handle different life's issues that come up with, and so forth, and how we deal with other people, and all of that is so important to understand, and we can't do it by ourselves. We have to have help from the good Lord, because and I firmly believe in that He's in control. And He will help us in whatever we need. All we have to do is ask Him, and we will receive. And so I think it's very important that we teach our children that too. The spiritual aspect of our lives are extremely important to teach our children that. And I've noticed that in the Spanish families also, is that they are continually teaching their children about prayer, and about thanking God and praising God, and being aware of what the good Lord has done for us, and I am so thankful that the good Lord has put me in this position to be there available to help the Spanish families in any way they need it. And as immigrants, so I know that my grandparents were all immigrants. They all came to this country from either Europe or other places in the world, and so I am very cognizant of that fact, and the fact that they received help that they needed. And I received help that I needed, and I've tried to pass those things on to to my children, and my wife is the same way. She, the things that she learned, she passes on continually, even as they're adults. We're helping them and teaching them. My one son has a serious problem of being able to manage money, and because it comes in and it goes out immediately, and he always is out of money. And so I've been working with him in the last few years to trying to help him understand how to manage his money and how to make sure that he has some in reserve for things that come up. And so it's each situation that comes up in the family with children, they're not all the same. Each one may have different issues they're dealing with in their life, and so we have to learn how to educate them and teach them, no matter what their age is. My wife Laura is learning a lot of things about how things are handled in this country versus how they were handled in her country. So I'm taking on that role of teaching her of those things, and so she's not my child, but she is my wife, and I'm trying to help her to adapt to the different society. Does that make sense?
Well, but also while you're saying that too, we're mindful now. I'm from the country. Really country. We got 911 in 2018. So, you know, it's not like I'm a big old place. Mary says her town is smaller than mine. But now that we went from the country and I live in the city and I'm a city boy, I still be mindful that Mary's conversating with people in Russia. That's people from China. People, you heard me say earlier, and if you didn't, tune in right now. We don't mind saying God because that's who we worship and that's who we believe in. But if you just happen to be in China, you happen to be Buddhist, if you happen to worship Krishna, my friend, I tell you, in the security business, he's Muslim. We don't care what your religion, denominational faith is. It's nothing but a learning institution for you to get a better understanding on who your maker might be. You heard me say earlier, call him Buddha, call him Krishna, call him Muhammad, call him by a thousand different names. It doesn't matter what you call him. All religions are good religions. It's the people inside of the religion that don't do religious stuff that makes the religion look bad. Nation under love. We don't care if you're from southern Egypt, South America, or you live in the Bronx, or you're in the northeast Georgia country mountains. We're calling all the people of the divine creator, that's what I call him, we're calling you out so that you can have a happy end with your life. If you think for 1 second, 2 seconds, 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 week, or one whole year that you can do everything that your maker is telling you to do by yourself, then he didn't tell it to you. You need to take your selfie, your self button off. Now we're here to enhance the life of people that we touch by helping people reach their goal. It's not optional to do what we've been told. And by us operating out of the spirit, that has nothing to do with religion. We're operating out of the spirit. That has nothing to do with religion. We're operating out of the spirit of obedience. So when you be the best you that you can be, then you can become a blessing to somebody else. It truly is a blessing to be a blessing. Are you
amen
to be
amen.
Or are you not to be?
Yep. Thank you, country. And that was a good ending for our show today. We appreciate you you mentioning those things. And I just so thankful for you, Mary, all the things that you do, and country, all the things that you do, and all the people on that are involved with the Hope Collection. It's a team effort, and we're all working together to make this work and to help other people and to help them to help other people. And so that's what it's all about, and that's why we're here. And so anybody that's listening, our show is broadcast weekdays, Monday through Friday, from noon to 1 o'clock Eastern Time. And you can come on anytime by dialing 714-816-4686. That's 714-816-4686. And we'd be happy to talk with you. If you don't want to talk and you just want to listen, you can do that too. Listen and learn, and then act upon the things that you hear and the things that you interest you. That's the very important part of this whole thing is listening is important and learning is important, but the most important is acting upon what you learn. And that's what we encourage people to do. And we work with you all the time to help you to do that. So thank you, Mary. Thank you, Country Boy. And thank you, Ron Clayton, for coming on. And Larry, thank you for coming on. We appreciate your all the things that you're doing. And we appreciate all of you guys. So God bless you all, and God bless America. You have a great day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Good day, everybody.
All right. Larry, he hung up.